Aloha kākou. Welcome to the Aloha Friday Conversation. I'm Noe Tanigawa with a look at art, culture, and ideas across Hawaii. Today, we're starting with ideas about police reform and defunding the police. I mean, what could that mean for Hawaii? Loretta Sheehan was appointed to the Honolulu Police Commission in 2016. An attorney, former federal prosecutor, she was on the commission through much of Chief Louis Kealoha's federal corruption case. In light of national events, I asked her whether she had any concerns about the HPD's record when it came to civil or human rights.
My sense of it was that we were doing better than other jurisdictions on the mainland, and that we didn't have the same problems that they were experiencing on the mainland. My general sense was always that we are a very diverse community, and that in particular, the Honolulu Police Department was a very diverse department. So I felt that our track record was probably pretty good. At the same time, I had to recognize that I actually had no idea, because the data is all secret and it's destroyed after 4 years. I mean, disciplinary proceedings are held in secret and the results are secret, with the exception of a redacted report to the legislature made once a year. But frankly, there's a whole lot that the public and the police commission don't ever find out.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, it is. The police department's works for us. We pay for everything. We pay for their salaries, we pay for the cars, we pay for the building, we pay for their retirement, we pay for their sick leave, we pay for it all, and they are public servants. And so the response I'd always heard from SHOPO is that it's just not fair, it would be a media circus if we started revealing disciplinary actions taken against police officers have to make split-second decisions, and it's just not fair to judge them in the way you would judge other public employees. I understand that. I hear that. It may be a fair argument, but you have to balance the public's right to know against the union's desire to keep everything undercover, because not all disciplinary actions are police shootings made in the heat of the moment. There's actually other issues like sexual harassment or rudeness or refusal to give your badge. There's other kinds of violations. So it's a balancing act. But at this point, the public is pretty much in the dark.
Yeah. I mean, with other public workers, school bus drivers, janitors, suspensions and terminations are public record. So, I mean, do you buy the argument that it really is a special case in the police department?
Not really. I don't. It's nothing against SHOPO. They're a very good union. They do right by their union members. They fight hard for every advantage they can get for their union members. It's just a question of whether people are willing to stand up and say, no, we really shouldn't have that information.
Your legal experience gave you a deeper perspective into the Honolulu Police Department, but how did it change once you became a commissioner?
As a prosecutor and then as a civil attorney, I essentially saw how police worked, how they investigated, and the fruits of their labor. What was a new experience for me as a commissioner was observing the police community up close and how they interacted and what the culture was at the Honolulu Police Department. I never really understood the culture before.
Could you describe it?
Well, it has changed over the years. I mean, when I first came in and Chief Kealoha was the chief, I certainly didn't speak with every officer. However, the ones I did speak with were extremely unhappy. It felt like a very fractured department to me. Then after Sue Ballard came in, I think there was a huge boost in morale. I think that it became far less fractured. For better or for worse, it's very much a family at the Honolulu Police Department. You see the best when, for example, our officers were killed at Hibiscus Lane, and they really rallied together and supported one another. And that was very beautiful to see. They're a family. They're very tight. And that has a shadow side.
What do you think average people don't know about the police department and really should? I mean, because that's part of what this Black Lives Matter movement is about.
You know, I don't mean to sound like a Pollyanna or a cheerleader. I really don't. But I think most people need to know that at least for the Honolulu Police Department, my experience was that these officers, they're really good people and they really work hard and they really care about the community. I can't speak for other jurisdictions, but you know, we're all crammed together on this little mountaintop poking out of the Pacific Ocean. And it feels like the officers of the Honolulu Police Department are acutely aware of that. This is their home and they care very much about their home. Other hand, you know, they can get a little bit stuck in their ways, but by and large, they're progressive, forward-thinking, enthusiastic, and hardworking people. I know that sounds really Pollyannish. I know that sounds like I'm a cheerleader, but it happens to be true.
Well, I mean, if you could, okay, look, defund the police. What could it mean to us? Does it mean anything?
I think it's a super interesting idea, and I get that the police are probably not going to like it because it interferes with all the power and authority that they have right now. Because in their mind, it's working pretty good, so don't mess with it. But defunding the police is one of the proposals made as a part of the hashtag 8CantWait project run by Campaign Zero, which they have a fascinating set of ideas. And the defunding the police is one of the most interesting. It challenges the historic view that social order can be maintained only by criminalizing and punishing behavior. That uses the police and the prosecutors as the enforcers. And the defunding the police movement turns that on its head and says, no, 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 no. Let's all recognize that the police don't necessarily have the expertise to handle all of our social ills. And so to give you an example of how it could work here, let's say there's a domestic violence call that comes into 911 and it's received by the dispatch center. Right now, that call goes to the Honolulu Police Department and solely to the Honolulu Police Department. The shift would be is that now if a call comes into the dispatch center of a domestic violence incident, the dispatch center would then distribute that call to two different agencies. One, to the Honolulu Police Department, because domestic violence is, in fact, a crime, but also to a community-based provider who would also respond on scene and who would provide to the victim the support services that are required, whether it's shelter services, whether it's creating a safety plan, whether it's explaining a 24-hour stay-away order, whether it's helping her or him obtain a temporary restraining order, all of the things that go into successfully stopping criminal behavior, preventing recidivism, it's those two agencies together. And quite frankly, the community-based provider then acts as a check on the power and authority of the police department. The community provider is there to see if a police officer is saying, you know, lady, if you turn him in, you're going to hurt your kids, or, you know, he's going to lose his job. And I've heard stories of things like that happening, and that would prevent that. So it turns the power structure on its head. Now, the police don't like it because it takes away some of their power and authority and certainly would affect their budget. And they also point out quite correctly that, sure, you can take away the money, but historically, everyone's been very bad about taking that money and then adequately funding community-based providers or the Department of Health or the Department of Addiction Services. And that's true. That's a fair comment. We tend to cut budgets and then we don't fund mental health and we don't fund addiction services and we don't fund other, you know, social-based programs. So it's a two-part equation and both sides have to be met. But it's a fascinating idea and it's one that's worthy of conversation. But yeah, it's a question of mandating, not just sort of encouraging the police to work with other agencies, but mandating, like, this is how it's going to be. This is what we're going to do.
That was Loretta Sheehan, former chair of the Honolulu Police Commission. She stepped down last month after serving since 2016, and we'll hear more from this conversation with Loretta Sheehan in just a few minutes. It's the Aloha Friday Conversation, arts, culture, and ideas in Hawaii. I'm Noe Tanigawa. We're talking with Loretta Sheehan, who joined the Honolulu Police Commission in 2016. She became chair in 2018. She stepped off the board just last month. During her tenure, Sheehan pressed for tougher questions during the investigation of former police chief Louis Kealoha, and she was the only dissenting vote on his $250,000 retirement package in 2017. I asked Ms. Sheehan what the takeaways from the Kealoha case might be for Honolulu citizens.
One is that the unthinkable can and does happen, and so we have to be aware of that.
Are there policies still in place that facilitated this situation in our police department that need to be looked at if we're looking at reform?
Here's the thing. Criminal behavior's going to happen. Crime's going to happen. there are going to be dishonest souls in our state, in our government, and in our police department. So we can have all the respect and aloha for a person or a department and still recognize that bad things happen and that oversight is necessary. Right now, the Honolulu Police Commission, they have very, very limited authority. And in terms of actually keeping an eye on the department or keeping being aware of criminal activity, they don't have that authority. They're allowed to hire and fire the chief of police and discipline the chief of police, and they're allowed to review the rules and regulations of the police department. And that's pretty much it. That's it. So we rely upon the federal authorities to investigate, like they did with the Kealohas, and it worked. That's great. However, we may want to look at whether our oversight of the department is sufficient.
I'm just wondering what kind of oversight could have provided a window onto what was going on earlier in this case.
And this is the outside looking in, because I wasn't in the department at the time. I wasn't a police officer. But my understanding is that there was a culture of extreme loyalty to the chief, which was required by the chief, and which is kind of rampant in police departments. It's a paramilitary organization where you are required to say, yes, sir, to your supervisor. And so loyalty is frequently a very honored cultural value in police departments. That's great. It makes police departments work efficiently. And that's bad, because if you're extremely loyal, then you're going to overlook things that are suspicious, and you're going to turn away when you see things you'd rather not see, and you're going to do things because the chief tells you to do them. So the first thing is there has to be a change in culture, and the culture has to be not so much loyalty to the chief or to your supervisor or to your division or your department or to the force. It has to be to a greater purpose. That's the first thing, the culture. And I think, you know, honestly, Sue Ballard is very good about that, about reinforcing the culture of a higher purpose. I really do. The second thing is, when officers do see something or do suspect something, they have to have a safe place to report it. Certainly the police commission was not that place in the past, and maybe it should remain with the federal authorities, you know, that if they suspect something, they could report it to the FBI or to their professional standards office, internal affairs. But mostly the culture and the self-definition of a police officer has to be one that requires loyalty to the rule of law and not to a person.
I think demilitarize the police is another one of the cries I hear out there.
Yeah, you know, and you know, again, that's a place where I think we've done well. We had a huge protest up in Kahuku, and it was handled effectively. It was handled nonviolently. It was handled with officers on bicycles, for goodness sake. Yes, I think there's a lot that mainland police departments could learn from the Honolulu Police Department. On the other hand, I don't know what it's like over there. The videos we saw of the protests in Washington, D.C., I mean, they were armed to the teeth. And the unthinkable can happen here. I mean, I think a crime rate could go up for sure. I mean, I think there's going to be a wave of burglaries and purse snatchings and home invasions. And I mean, there is. There's going to be economic desperation. And so, but I don't necessarily see armed riots, you know, or looting. I mean, I don't really see it, but who knows? I don't know how bad it's going to get. I do not know.
If there's anything you feel maybe you left undone on the commission, what would that be?
You know, I think I did all I could do. There comes a certain point where there's a stylistic change. There's a desire for a different culture. I think I'm extremely comfortable with opening my mouth and saying what I think. And other people prefer a more modified approach. Is there more to be done? Absolutely.
What would be the first things?
What I saw as key to the Honolulu Police Commission was making it into a place where the public could come and have a forum. It was a place where citizens could interface with the chief of police and be heard. And that's hugely important. And that's a source of frustration in many cities. People don't get so angry when you get to have your 3 minutes with the chief of police and say, this is what's going on. And so I thought it was very important as a forum for people. I don't know if it's going to continue to be that. We'll see. We'll see. I'm very encouraged by the two new commissioners who were selected. Mike Broderick and Doug Chin are extremely bright. They both have experience in law and in the court system, and Doug Chin is a former prosecutor, so they were very good picks. Yeah, I don't know what else I could have done.
But. You know, but the whole thing is, I just don't see the level of transparency that would allow the commission to do its work of oversight to the level that you would expect as a citizen, really.
One thing I would have liked to have seen, avenues for police reform, we may want to start with transparency of the police department policies. When Joe Citizen goes online, he or she can only see a redacted version of many of the department's policies, in particular the use of force policy. Citizens, I believe, should have complete access to the policies of the police department. There's absolutely no reason to redact. You know, I've heard the excuse that we can't release the full use of force policy because then the bad guys will know what we're going to do. But I think that's absolutely absurd. It doesn't make sense to me. If your policies are sound and justifiable, then you should release them. Policies are different than operational information, which of course must remain confidential. Of course. But policies, those should be open to the public, and I do not understand why they're confidential. Our state legislators may want to consider whether internal police disciplinary matters, to include charging, administrative review board hearings, decisions, grievances, and the outcomes of such grievances, should continue to be conducted in secret. Right now, unless an officer is publicly charged with a criminal offense by the Office of the Prosecuting Attorney or by the U.S. Attorney's Office, or an officer is publicly sued, nobody gets to find out about it. It's all top secret information. I think that the legislature should look at that, take a good hard look at that. The Charter Commission may want to reconsider the role of the Police Commission. They may want to expand the powers of the commission to do more than simply hire and fire the chief and review the rules. They may want to allow the police commission to actually look under the hood and examine what is actually going on in the police department. Those are some ideas that, you know, moving forward that we might want to look at. Because just because things seem to be working really well at the moment, again, Chief Kealoha teaches us that the unthinkable can happen and that citizen oversight is always necessary.
Loretta Sheehan stepped down from the police commission last month. She's currently in private practice here in Honolulu.